The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
And the reason we have a wonderful world is all the people that defended us through the ages to make this perfect life we have. If you don't think we have a good life, move to another country, any country.
Any country. Yeah, I believe that.
And I thank these people that went into the service.
You know, the saying is freedom is not free. And the folks that we honor this weekend are in response to that. There's a lot of people who have left us way too early, making sure that you and I can do this radio show and give each other a hard time. So it's something worth remembering.
Gaze at the sky.
I just gaze in your eyes. That's what I do.
Use some legal cannabis. Walk around in a daze,
that
protesting our new ROV.
I think that's something that we should be thankful for, is that we can protest the new ROV.
Hey, you know what?
What's that?
They would have shot me a long time ago.
I would shoot you every week if I had a chance, but I'd get in trouble and then I can't do the next show.
Did you want to borrow my gun?
No. No, I don't.
Anyway, you know, there's people that go into the service that are born warriors. There was a guy that lived down my street when he was a kid. He knew he was a born warrior. He couldn't wait to join the service. He wanted to fight for our country, defend our country.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's people like that. There's people that go in there for probably just a short stint to get the benefits and that kind of stuff and realize that this is where I want to be. This is where I'm meant to be.
Well,
our country.
Go ahead.
Needs to thank those people very much. We're so lucky to be here.
Well, anybody that is willing to sign on the dotted line and show up, even if it's got, I don't know, less than pure motives of being in the military, but they're doing it for the benefits, the reality is that four-year stint that they hook up for, they may find themselves in a hot zone. So, you know, ulterior motives aside, schooling, benefits, VA, whatever, they sign on the dotted line. And so I respect that heavily. I really do.
Yeah, either that or they draft you.
Yeah, well, I've not had to be part of that.
I volunteered for this.
Yeah. Well, before we get going, Nick, good morning, everybody. Poke the Hornet's Nest, Nick Gardner, Doug Janke. We're supposed to do this for Dad, so KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and on the interwebby at KCNR1460.com. Now, I've made Dad happy, Nick. We've got stuff that's happening all over the place. I've been a little busy with some exterior stuff. So I see you have notes on all over your side of the desk. What's going on?
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on nationally. Senator John Kennedy.
I like
Louisiana.
Johnny.
Louisiana. Pressed the matter further when he asked, right, so you're telling me that the Department of Energy, in the 76-day period, that's when Donald Trump got elected and the time that he was inaugurated, in the 76-day period before their boss was going to leave office, gave or loaned money to entities that had no business plan. Can you guess how much money they gave to entities that didn't have a business plan?
I'm guessing it ends in illions.
$93 billion.
Oh, that's not that much. That's only 93,000 million. That's not that much money. I say that in jest.
From the loan program office, in loans and commitments, $93 billion, well over twice as much as the previous 15 years.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. On the way out, Joe Biden and his crew, well, we now know, which is, you know, we can talk about that in a minute. Continue on. We'll pick up on that subject.
There's a lot of funds that went out the door, and commitments were made. Businesses that provided no business plan, no numbers about their own financial sovereignty. If I'd have known that was going on, I would have tried to change my name to Biden. I'd have got some money for that, wouldn't I?
No.
Well, my relatives might pay me to change my name from Gardner.
You would have had to go to the Ukraine to get money to have a name like Biden. But, you know, now that you brought it up, we'll go down that avenue. The fact of the matter is, I have high hopes for Trump and Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. But I'm like Glenn Beck into a certain response when he said, look, a year from now, if there are not indictments, trials, and people being put away for treason, nothing's going to change. They're now beyond overwhelming doubt. Everybody's coming out. Everybody's chewing on the carcass that was Joe Biden. First off, he had cancer. Everybody apparently inside knew it. Two, he was cognitively an idiot. Well, he was that before. He was actually in different dimension, but that's another story. But now you have this whole thing where the deep state basically ran the government, and he didn't know what the hell was going on. That's treason. Those people need to be arrested immediately, put into jail. Let them suffer like the J6. Don't give them lawyer purposes or privileges. Put them in jail. People say, well, you know, you don't do the same thing. Yes, you do. These people are only going to learn if they pay the extreme consequence of jail or worse for treason. This just goes back to the fact that the people that were in Joe's orbit were blowing our money for things that had no valid reason so they could hamstring the next administration.
I have a suspicion this didn't start with Joey Biden.
Well, I guarantee it also happened with Trump 1. So whether or not it's going to happen with Trump 2 is another story. But Trump 1, and because, you know, Trump don't – let's not
– How about our first black president? Half black.
Well, that would be Bill Clinton.
He can play the saxophone. He plays a mean saxophone.
Yes, he does.
I think Louis Armstrong was trying to get him to play on that song.
Well, and he declared that he was the first black president. But, you know, the reality is, Nick and I were talking about this before we got on the radio today, and, you know, now that the Democrats, the idiot liberals are no longer in power, we have to look a little deeper for stories, because before...
Are you talking about Leonard Modi and Joanne Francis and Kathy Darling Allen?
I'm talking about anybody who identifies that side of the aisle. But now we have to look a bit harder. And one of the things that I personally can't do is I can't sit there and mock a liberal for their ideas and their stupid ideology. And they never fess up. Nobody ever fess up. Oh, Joe's sharp as a tack, isn't it? Well, here we are. We now are air quotes on the top of the pyramid. And if there are things that are not being done right, it's our obligation to be honest with people. And there's things that I think are going on. And whether or not Trump's going to get those boondoggles found and corrected, I doubt the rhinos in Congress will do anything with that whole thing. Even though Mr. Kennedy had some great questions, if you ever watch that guy ask people he's interviewing on their hearings, he just is such a good old boy, and he's got his lips flapping, and I really enjoy watching him interview people.
Oh, I do too. He plays like the old country hick.
Yeah,
and he's just smart as a tack. He should have been on the Beverly Hillbillies.
He might be the Beverly Hillbillies. So $93 billion. I mean, let's put that in perspective. That's, you know, we've gotten to the point now where...
That's $92.99999 billion and I'll ever have.
Well, and you didn't get it in 76 days either, because you're a horrible person. You should have been able to get that in 74 days, is my opinion.
I made about, I don't know, $2,200 in the last 76 days.
Wow. Look at you. You're middle class in America.
Boy, it is middle class anymore.
Well, there ain't much middle class anymore. The way things are going with inflation and credit card debt. And
now
all
we got the low class and the no class. The no class is the politicians.
Oh, well, they've always been that. They've always been that. I mean, and you know, we have all three houses. We have the White House, we have the Senate, and we have the House of Representatives, and they're still not getting anything done. And for all of their bluster and how great, and when I heard the lead-in story about how Donald Trump was going to be a fiscal hawk, that was the actual word they used, I laughed, and you looked at me, and why was I laughing? There's nothing fiscally conservative about Donald Trump. It's just, there is nothing.
But
zero.
He is a fiscal hawk. He's taking the fat and he's putting it somewhere else. He's not cutting like we had hoped, but he's placing the money maybe where it'll do more good than Sleepy Joe put it.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you again on that one, only because we now have a $1.1 trillion defense budget to fight enemies that are not attacking us. And so,
we keep pumping money into it. They're not going to attack us because we're overarmed.
Well, and
we
problem,
can take them.
Well, the problem is it, you know, this is, I've read this stuff and we are a truly chosen land. You started about that, how lucky we are. We're a chosen land. We've got a relatively small population friendly country to the north, and we've got a relatively small border with a hostile population to the south. We're protected by two massive oceans. There's no state actor on planet Earth that would ever undertake to come after us, ever. It won't happen unless, of course, it's missiles, and at that point, that's a different story. But the next round of things that we're going to need military for are going to be internal. The Biden administration, by their own admission, let in the FBI admitted to 7,000 known terrorists that crossed the border. 7,000. That was under testimony in Congress.
And Obama armed them. Remember the 2 billion hollow points he got?
Oh, yeah.
With all the guns that came up missing?
Well, he armed all these government agencies that didn't have any police powers. That's what Obama did. So my point being is this military that we're building for hostile actors, we're never going to – we have ships that can patrol both oceans. We have a border to the north that we can patrol and work with Canada. South is a very short border, relatively speaking. I mean, we already secured it in 30 days. So why is Trump spending the money that you say he's finding from Doge and Elon in on a $1.1 trillion military budget? We don't need that. We could cut half and still be well protected in this world.
Well, maybe we're not as informed about our enemies that you'd like to think we are. Maybe there's some weapons up there in the satellites that we need to protect ourselves from.
Oh, I guarantee you. I mean, there's so much technology now. Have you ever seen those videos with the robots that they now have, the military robots and the military dogs? I mean, the next warfare is going to be drones and robots against each other, which is really kind of bizarre.
How about the robot UFC fights?
Okay.
That ought to be pretty on trampolines.
Yeah. What is that show? What is that show where they do computer or games against each other and they just destroy each other's stuff? I would love to think that Trump's going to make some big changes to the positive for us, but the best thing that Trump has done so far, and I mean this is the sole and best, was the woke. We've lost the DEI and the wokeism. Unfortunately, cancer in liberals stays there, and it won't go away in 4 years. So unless they actually codify and put this stuff into law, the next president will be able to, with executive order, just like Joe Biden did, erase everything Trump has already done. So that's why I'm saying we have all three houses. Let's get some stuff done, and they're not doing it.
You know, the same thing happened in his first administration.
Yeah, but the first one, he went in and he was in the middle of wolves and he made the mistake, which he did not make this time. So I will give him credit. He didn't learn something because the first time he kept a crap load of Obama holdovers, which turned out to be.
I'm disappointed he fired Rachel Levine. I think she would have made a really good Surgeon General. Weren't you ashamed of Biden's administration?
Oh, it was.
I mean, we had Budapest. He's a presidential candidate now, and he canceled out the picture of his husband.
Yeah.
And put in some landscape.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is I was watching something last night. So believe it or not, when I do get a couple minutes and my wife has not wanted me to talk to her, I do look at stuff. And I was watching a little clip on Larry Elders and the Larry Elder show. And a liberal, obviously a whack job liberal, called in and goes, "Aren't you embarrassed that Trump, you know, his cabinet all go to him and they're fawning on him like he's an Ayatollah?" And Larry Elder spent the next, I don't know, minute and a half going, "Were you embarrassed when Biden was cognitively declined? Were you embarrassed?" And he went through all of these things asking the liberals straight up, "Were you embarrassed when the Democrats did this? Were you embarrassed?" And the guy never gave a response. So, you know, I was hoping we'd get more accomplished, and I know it's only been 100-plus days, but that's the sweet spot. That's the bottom of the ninth. Bases loaded and you're looking for the home run. It's the first 100 days to set the next, and there's already rhinos that are showing they're going to turn coat. It's a shame.
It is. You know, the forum yesterday down at the library in the community room, more or less introducing Clint Curtis and Frank, I can't remember his first name, that was a great forum, and it showed us that we can take back our elections. He laid it out how it's going to be completely transparent.
Oh, cool.
And
I hope so. I mean, that's the one thing you and I harp on since I've been doing this with you for 3 years, is we just want fair, honest elections. That's it. If we lose, we lick our wounds and we come back in the next cycle. But we just want fair. We don't want to have to always question whether or not our vote got counted, whereas the other side stuff in the ballot box. So I'm hoping Clint Curtis really does come in and floridizes our election process so that they can be done on the same night without conflict and make it happen. That's what I'm hoping.
He's going to have it to where if you question something, all you have to do is look it up. It's all going to be video. It's on you. Find it. Show it to us.
Good.
They're going to be able to verify signatures for the ballots before it's opened.
Wow.
I know of two instances where somebody voted for somebody else, and when they went in and said they hadn't voted yet, the first ballot counts.
Oh, yeah.
And they made out their ballot, but it didn't get counted.
Oh, yeah.
And I turned that over to, I tried to give it to the sheriff, but he said the case had already been sent to the district attorney.
Which did nothing.
So I gave it to Bev Gray, and she is with the Shasta County Election Commission.
Yeah.
Which I understand will probably be canceled out. They don't need it now. We've got the guy we want in there to clean up our election, so they don't need to tell him how to clean it up. I think he's got a pretty good idea.
Well, knowing that your memory is a little cognitively declined, but what were some of the
things?
Call
me Joe.
I have done that actually on the radio. What did Clint mention that you really liked from yesterday's meeting? That you said, oh, that's something that we never had.
He wants a new building that's big and wide open, and you can walk around and look at everybody and see what they're doing.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's pretty obvious. You get rid of all the walls and the barriers.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea.
And, you know, it's going to be on Mountaintop Media, I'm sure. You look around in Facebook and you'll find a video of that. John Knight was there copying it.
Okay.
Filming it, and right. I'm sure it'll be on there, and it was quite impressive.
Well, I know that when we had Clint on our show, it might have been 2 years ago, and he came on and he talked about the fact that, you know, he was the first programmer to develop the cheating Dominion program, or software, I should say. So from a guy who developed the bad medicine, so to speak, I take it that if he knows how to write the bad stuff, he can put it back on the good spot. So I'm hoping that Mr. Curtis does well and that the liberals finally shut up and just let an election happen. And then if the results are not to their liking, then speak up again.
Well, you know, this was thrown by Laura Hobbs and Rich Gallardo.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of their outfit. They have a meeting down there, I believe, every Saturday, 3:30 to 5:30, thereabouts.
Well, and Laura
and they are on the front lines
of
getting this cleaned up. And Laura wasn't there.
Yeah.
She was camping with her kids.
Oh, that's nice.
You know what? I see mothers that get too involved in other things, career climbing and everything, and their kids go to heck. I salute her for spending time with her kids.
Yeah, and I will say, I received an email after you announced that group before, and Laura had said, you know, it's kind of not a closed group. You have to be kind of vetted because they don't want just people to come in and disrupt. So if it's something you're interested in, you know, let us know and we'll get you Laura Hobbs' email address. But yes, they're doing some really good stuff that allow you and I to actually live life while they're digging deep into the details.
Well, you know, the thing is, it was a private meeting, and little Napoleon Benjamin Nguyen, he was turned away, as was R.V. Scheib, who doesn't report honestly in the a news cafe.
Well, you know what? You were very enlightening. I'm giving this a public prop, so be careful it doesn't go to your head. But that Shasta Anon piece over the Nguyen's,
yes,
that was wow.
I sent that to everybody.
Wow. If you guys haven't seen it, ShastaAnon.com. And guys, you know, they're not bad-mouthing the people overall. They're just showing them the history of somebody, and they let you decide. And that goes for anybody they've profiled. I mean, hell, they might profile me for all I know. But when they do a profile, they just will find stuff. And they put it on there, and at the end of it, they're not, you know, necessarily giving you that it's good or bad, but many times it leads you to one conclusion. So that was pretty interesting to see just who those folks are. Yeah.
As was Tom Toller, as was Joanne Francesca, as was many people on there that they have shown a profile of.
I don't understand where they get their information, but I mean, it's all stuff from them. So it's not like they went and AI'd it and made it up. So, kudos to Shasta and on whoever you are anonymously. Keep up the good work. It's awesome. And we'll continue to promote you.
There's people, little Shasta Scout and Alicia Pierce. How can you put any stock into somebody that reports anonymously? Well, the thing is, you know, there's a lot of businesses around town that stay apolitical, but when we have private talks, they agree with everything I say.
I believe that.
And but, you know, it'll hurt their business if they put up a sticker that says, I'm a conservative, I support Trump.
Yep. Well, you know, what's funny is when I started doing this with you, my wife was very concerned for my real estate business that was I going to lose clients? Wasn't I afraid of losing business? And at the time, we were in the middle of Biden and the hatred and the Antifas and the BLMs and all the stuff that was going on. And I looked at my wife and I said, no, I'm not concerned at all because I'm not fighting for another escrow or selling another house. I'm fighting. When I go on the radio with you back in the day, especially with the every news cycle was so deep, we had too much to talk about. I told her, I said, no, I'm not worried about losing business. I'm worried about losing my country. So, you know, and that's the problem, Nick, is our country's gotten to the point where conservative people are afraid to lose a little business instead of being honest and say, I voted for X and, you know, I support it. And it's really a shame that we've gotten to that point. But politics doesn't need to be the center of life. But unfortunately, as I say and I've said on the show, you may not be into politics, but they're sure into you.
Well, the thing is, it's all about money. Everybody thinks they've got to make as much money as they can possibly make. And, you know, not everybody is supposed to be rich.
No.
If you can find a comfortable job, a job that you like, that can support your family, you've got the opportunity to have a happy life there.
That used to be considered the blueprint for a happy life, happy marriage, happy kids. You know, dad went to work, man had a job, mom stayed home, took care of it.
But I want to be the boss. He's going on vacations, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. They don't realize that he's got his old rear end hung out, investments making this company work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when he stubs his nose, there's nobody to pick him up.
Oh, no. He gets to fall quickly and go to the bottom of the heap pretty quickly. So, no, that's true, Dick, is it used to be in America that an honest day's pay for an honest day's work was the mantra. And now it's you have this mindset that you've got to have side gigs, hustles, be an influencer, be on YouTube, be on Facebook, have your own channel, TikTok. I don't have any of that. I don't have any social media presence whatsoever, and I don't care. So when you talk about speaking to businesses, and privately, they will say, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but I can't say it publicly because I'll lose business. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We have gotten to a point in America where we're afraid to be honest with each other.
Well, I've lost business over just what I had printed on the back of my pickup. One of them said,
I must say, the first time I did see it, it was like, wow, this guy's a bit of a loon bill, but I understand it now.
One of them was, I don't need sex. California screws me daily. What's the truth?
It is. And they're about to get more because I'm sure everybody's heard. So I'll treat you as grown-ups. But California has managed to chase off is in the process of chasing off, and they are leaving. I think it's two or three of our major refineries are leaving the state by 2026, I think.
Valero down there at Benicia, and I think a big one down in Los Angeles.
And it's something like 20% of our fuel-making capacity in California is leaving the state. And
that's why we need to get an electric car and put those windmills in.
There we go. More failed green policies is going to be the answer. But no, when you talk about getting screwed, you know, a professor worked up the numbers and he said point blank, if this happens and nothing changes, and at the moment Newsom and the group are not changing, we could be looking at like $7 or $8 a gallon for gas while the rest of the nation will be paying two something. Let that sink in. That's California screwing you over.
We're going to go to a break here pretty quick. I'm assuming we're ready for a break. Before we go, I'll finish this one short statement. This was sent to me by somebody I email with. I don't even know his name. 5 minutes ago, It seems to be a lot of anti-Trump lies on Craigslist politics lately. I suspect it comes from the no-brains. I wonder who that could be. The pickaninnies and the anti-opinion rag. I think that's ANC people. Do you have any insight? Here's my reply. I have no idea. I don't go to Craigslist. I hit the cap locks on that accidentally because I hit it with my crooked fingers. That might be a good name for me, crooked finger. But I don't use social media. It's a pain in the rear end.
And in your heart and in your head.
Yes.
Let's go to a break and come back in a couple.
Okay.
Let's go to a break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Helicopter rides, airplane rides, classic cars, aircraft displays. It's all happening this Father's Day. Aviation Day, Sunday, June 15th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Benton Airfield in West Reading. Admission is free and parking is free. Sponsored by the Reading EAA. Come for a great breakfast. Put on by the Mount Shasta 99s from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Adults are $10. Kids from 5 to 12, $5. Kids under 5 are free. Aviation Day, 2025, Father's Day, Benton Airfield.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
Almost the 4th of July, can you believe it?
Wow, this year's flown by.
Let me ask you something before you get started.
Okay.
Our founding fathers, were they liberals or conservatives?
I'm going to go, well, you know, what's funny is I have to say I think they must have had some liberalism because Jefferson and the group saw and tried to give us a government that would never let it take over. But if I had to guess, they were farmers, hardworking businessmen, and they were 100% or 99% conservative in that they didn't want big state, big government control. They wanted you to have guns. And they put together a document that I have said repeatedly to people is the most well-written document by human hands ever done. Now, the Bible was written by somebody. Nobody knows exactly who.
Numerous people.
Well, that's my point. The Constitution was written by a group of young men in their late 20s, early 30s, and it was so profound that today, if we just followed it, our country would be just a lot better. It would be amazing place to be right now. And so yes, I do think there was liberals back then. I think that was the English monarchy, you know, because they were the elites and they were telling the poor.
Yeah, people. But they didn't let them have real guns. They had one of them guns where a flag comes out and says bang. You know, the thing is, aren't we the first government that was ever created by the people, for the people?
And of the people.
Yes.
Well, and you know, I think about this.
And
because,
look at all the things we've created because of our freedom.
Well, you know, we are the largest economy ever created. We have the most freedom. We've inspired more democracies around the world, in spite of the ones we've kind of bullied up and taken over. And people die trying to get here. You don't see Americans dying trying to go somewhere else. So you have something uniquely special as an American. And if the liberals get their way, they will destroy it and turn us into Russia. So I'm hoping that eventually we win this war, but it's an ongoing battle. So I answer your question with, I don't think many of them were liberals. How's that?
The Constitution is not a document for the government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government.
Yep. That's exactly what it's supposed to be.
That's Patrick Henry said that, repeated by Nick I Am.
And you are Nick I Am. I know that. So, Nick, you handed me a couple things that I thought we should bring to the folks because, you know, I think in my opinion, I think they're hardworking people. They're just mentally displaced. It's the public school system. I mean, it's become an indoctrination, sex change, hide mom and dad from the truth of their kid. Institution. This is something you handed to me that you got off the internet, and this is something I found interesting because I did not have a clue. The average teacher in the Golden State made $101,084 last year, as reported by the 23-24 NEA rankings and estimate report. So this is actual them providing their stuff. This is a 6% increase from the previous year's salary. Additionally, this figure is 30,000 higher than the nationwide average of 72. So, Nick, we rank in the bottom 10 of all school districts or all schools in the United States. And
we used to be number one early 70s. We were number one.
Yeah, because they were actually teaching. They didn't throw on their politics. I couldn't tell you if Mr. Smith or Mrs. Johnson were liberal. I didn't care. I just wanted to learn how to build something, weld something. I didn't care what their politics are. Now, their politics, and overwhelmingly, they donate 99% to Democrat causes. So that tells you where their support is. So, folks, when you see a teacher, and again, it's a noble profession, but they're making $10,000 a month. That's a lot of money when you think about it.
That's more than a lot of old people live on Social Security.
That's a lot more than most people in Reading make. So there you go. There was something about teachers. And then good news is Mr. Jim Cloney has done his time and he stepped down, and they've picked a new guy, Dr. Owen Crosby. And also to let you know, his base salary will be $275,000 a year. Plus, he gets a wellness benefit. I don't know what a wellness benefit is. Could somebody explain a wellness benefit to me? Because $275,000 obviously is not enough.
Maybe he's got to take a drug test every month.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, I would think if you're making $25,000 a month, you probably can afford some wellness on your own dime, but they gave him another $17,000 for a wellness benefit, whatever that is.
Acupuncture, massage.
Possibly. And then there's a stipend.
A colostomy? Was that what you were going to say?
And then there's a stipend of $3,000. So our new board president will be collectively making, and it goes up every year because they have built-in COLA clauses, cost of living. He's starting out at almost $300,000. $25,000 a month to be the superintendent of schools.
But what did they base that on?
Well, it says they based it on his Crosby's advanced educational degrees. What does that mean? What the heck does that mean? It's because our schools, our college, having graduated from San Francisco State University in the class of 1990, you know what's funny is I guarantee it was crazy liberal back then, but I was too young and dumb playing baseball. I didn't notice it. But the university system universally has become just a liberal hive mind tank of propaganda and indoctrination. So our new board president has been, I guess, highly indoctrinated. He's worth more. That's what I'm guessing.
That's right.
I mean, he says he has advanced educational degrees. In what?
We're ranked number six at the bottom of the barrel. He's going to take us down to number one, maybe.
You know, I will give benefit of the doubt on anything I make a statement like that where I'm kind of mocking the people. I hope he turns us around and leads us the right direction. But if history's any indicator, he's not a President Milei of Argentina. So we're probably going to continue being last of the bottom while we're getting the most well-paid teachers.
Well, if you want to see the type of people that he's got to turn around, look no further than the failed recall people. About 60% of them are ex-teachers.
Well, again, I'm not sure if that says anything positive about our education system.
You know, the thing that really stands out to me was Laura, the salmon lady. She was angry because the salmon on the Sundial Bridge overpass are pointing downstream instead of upstream.
I'd be very angry
as
well.
And she's a teacher.
Yeah, I'd be very angry as well.
She probably told Johnny it's okay to wear a dress tomorrow if he wants to.
But don't tell your mom and dad.
There you go.
That's that modern education system. So, Nick, you got some more stuff there. I mean, we're bouncing
else.
All over the place.
There's something. Well, I've got lots more than that. It's just that we just don't have enough time. I've noticed around town how our town is turning into what looks to be a third world country.
Yes.
You look at people sleeping in doorways. You look at all the trash. You look and it's not just the homeless that throw their trash out. It's people driving by and they throw their damn trash out. I pick up our street and it's disgusting. One time I found a hash pipe and some hash.
I believe that.
It was pretty good stuff.
How did I know you were going to go there? But you know what? You know what's funny, Nick, you say that, and I'll chime in. When Liz and I moved here from Europe in October of 97, I just got done playing my last baseball season. We came here, and for the better part of 20-plus years, Liz and I, when we'd leave town and we'd come back, we would drop in over Anderson, and we'd see the city of Reading, and we just – there was a peace. There was a calm. We loved coming back into Reading, California. Then – early on, the Obama era started, and we started having homeless people showing up all over the place. And now I live up in Shingletucky, and I don't like coming to Reading anymore because everywhere you go, there's some loser, complete loser, on the street corner. There's five shopping carts. There's Tent City under a tree. And that's not the city that I moved to in October of 1997.
Yes, and that's reminiscent of from San Diego to Seattle. It's the same thing.
Yep.
And they've just come to Reading lately, you know.
We had the best weather.
Yes. But, you know, what I find troubling is, and I saw a video of a guy that just shut his business down in San Diego. It was by some big venue. He had been there for 20 or 30 years, and his business went to hell because they were letting hot dog vendors on the sidewalk. $10 hot dogs cooked on Harbor Freight tool carts with no refrigeration. Tonight I found five illegal vendors parked in front of legitimate downtown San Diego downtown restaurant while business owners pay sky-high Gavin Newsom taxes, and they're paying leases and insurance and everything, and somebody pulls up outside their door and starts selling hot dogs. I'm seeing grills around town. I went up to the Chicken Shack the other day to get a honey mustard sandwich. Man, it's dynamite.
Did not know that.
And they had – somebody was set up I don't know if they're selling hamburgers or tacos or what, right on the corner of the southeast corner of Cypress and Hilltop. They're selling food right there.
Yep.
With a little tent over them.
Yep.
And I doubt if they were, they had them a permit. I know that it didn't look sanitized. And then down on Bocelli Lane, I see somebody cooking hamburgers in front of this business, a big barbecue flipping hamburgers. They're not part of the business. It's just around the street from Don's Sandwich Shop.
Yeah.
How much is this affecting our established restaurants? And the hard times we're in right now. And I haven't seen it all over the rest of the town, but I'm sure it's coming. And, you know, sanitation isn't good.
No,
and,
not at all.
You know, that's why I say we're turning into a third world country. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have had them food trucks.
Well, you know, what's funny is I had a discussion. Oddly enough, my wife had some family fly over from Europe, and they were with us for a week. And one of the young kids, he's 25, smart kid, liberal, but smart kid. And we got talking, and he started going on about Uber, how much he doesn't like Uber. And so we got into conversation. It was a good conversation back and forth. And I stated to him, which I think surprised him, is I am absolutely 100% opposed to Uber, Airbnb, VRBO, any of those kind of things. And here's why. If you are a taxi, you have to get licensed. You have to have your car all marked up. You have to have extra insurance. You have to apply for a certificate to be able to say you're a taxi. And then you've got to go out and compete against the hamburger flipper who has none of the overhead. And what I was telling him is I would be 100% for Uber if they had to go through the same exact process as a taxi company. And that would make the ground even. If we're going to have rules, it's rules for everybody. Well, the same thing with Airbnb is, you know, you go to a hotel, it's got to have ADA compliance, parking lot, drainage, doors all have to be 36 inches. You could go on a handles in the showers. And Airbnb doesn't have to do that, and yet they get to compete against a hotel.
Yeah.
So the problem is we have the government picking winners and losers, and the honest business person is paying for salaries at $20 an hour if it's in the food industry. They've got the building, they've got the compliance, they've got the refrigeration, they've got all that stuff, and they're competing against a guy who is flipping burgers for $10. But we're doing it to ourselves, sir, because it's just like Amazon. Amazon was a lost leader. It lost money for, I think the record is like 10 years and never made a penny. And it drove all of the mom and pop businesses out. Well, they didn't drive the mom and pop businesses out. Who was buying on Amazon? You, me, everybody who's listening. So if people didn't buy from the street vendor, unlicensed, unregulated, they would disappear.
But the thing is,
we're creating the problem that you want to fix.
No, the government created
absolutely.
It by taking so much of our disposable income.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking down the street. Say I've got a wife and two kids, and we can go into that restaurant and get us a hot dog and a soda pop, and it's going to cost us $125.
Yeah.
And we can get it from the vendor out there for $10 a shot.
Yep.
And, you know, morally, I won't buy from them anymore because I'm stable financially and I don't have to. But there was a time that I would have said, yeah, I'm going here.
Yeah, I'm getting a $10 dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like professional sports and entertainment and music is, you know, when I was in college playing baseball, I lived in Frisco. And so we could go to the Stick and freeze off, or we could go with Bart and jump off at Oakland A's. You could get, and I'm not saying dinosaur, I'm just saying you could get a bleacher seat for $3. And, you know, I didn't drink beer back then, so, you know, cola and stuff. And you could be out for $20 and enjoy a game. You can't do anything. What is it? I think I read something that the average family of four to go to a baseball game now is spending $350 just to go watch a game.
You know,
and so when you say it's pricey, you're dang straight. Absolutely.
San Francisco has a women's basketball team now, and I got on the schedule. I'd love to go see Caitlin Clark play. And,
now, is she playing back here? I thought she went to Europe for a couple years.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
You get a nosebleed seat. It was $250-some. And those sitting on the sidelines were $12,500.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going, you know, I did report
back. But you know what's sad about that, Nick, is growing up, I aspired to be a Major League Baseball player. That's really what I wanted to be. Besides being a race car driver, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. But they've now priced it to, it's an elite activity to go to a sporting event anymore. It's a total, you have to be rich to go to watch baseball or football or basketball. It's just, it's crazy. That's not how you and I were brought up. I mean, when you were young, you were probably going to go watch Barney and Fred play in the Stone League, and it was probably like two stones.
Yes, but it had to start somewhere. You know, I reported last fall that Caitlin Clark said to heck with the WNBA. She was going to Europe.
Yeah.
And that Angel Reese had failed a steroid test and was banned from the WNBA. And they're both playing. So I don't know what happened there, but I read those stories.
Yeah.
And, you can't blame the WNBA for not letting Caitlin Clark get away.
Well,
she's worth many, many, many millions of dollars to the WNBA. And Angel Reese, you know, the competitive, the grudge between them, that's worth a ton of money, too. And Caitlin knocked her on her butt, too, and she didn't like that.
Well, the problem with Caitlin, and she has a big problem, she's white. And that was the flashback, is the fact that she was just the Larry Bird of the WNBA. I mean, you know, you watch some of the old clips of these Jordan and these guys talking about who they least like playing against. It was Larry Bird, because apparently Mr. Bird, for all of his red hair, small mustached look, he was like the ultimate trash talker. So when he was on the thing, he was just giving Michael Jordan and all the Magic Johnson, just he was talking crap to him the whole time. And they said that he could get into your head and ruin your game. And Caitlin Clark is just that level of an athlete. She's just so good. Forget the color of her skin. But it came down to the color of her skin was the reason that she got bullied and was leaving the WNBA. So
yeah,
I hope she is back.
She lifted weights and bulked up and maybe took a little jujitsu or something, because I saw her knock Angel Reese on her rear end, and Angel didn't like it a bit.
Well, it'd be interesting to go watch and play. I'm not a big fan of basketball or WNBA either way, but it'd be interesting to see, because she's just a unique talent.
You know, I took a walk through the environmental camp out at Whiskey Town.
Yes.
About 2 months ago. And the place has fallen apart. And I was going to contact Kevin Cry, because Kevin, he's the guy that could spearhead getting it cleaned up for a kids camp or something. It might be a good place to put mentally ill people out. They can't, maybe they could go down to Crystal Creek and go swimming or something once in a while.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't grow up here, so I never did that, but I've run into people who, as young kids, would go there, and they all had amazing experiences.
Well, the car fire came through.
I know.
And some boulders came down. They said it wiped out one of the cabins. The cabins, you know, they slept 8 or 10 or 12 kids.
Yeah.
Well, I walked through there, and I saw where a couple of boulders, they had a little tiny slide. I didn't see where it knocked out a cabin. And I didn't see any potential danger for more of it to happen. It looked to me like an excuse to close it down.
Well,
and I was doing the windows over at Wilda's, home of the Buddha Bowl, and here's a little flyer on there, westcommunity.net, I think it is, and I neglected to bring it with me, but I will in 2 weeks. And it's a group of 8 or 10 women here that have started, they're wanting to get it cleaned up and get it back online.
Oh, wow.
And it's West, W-E-S, community. Put that in your search engine and see if it'll pop up. But, you know, I was afraid that's going to happen, the same thing that happened to Crystal Creek up there. They just let the termites quit holding hands. It falls down. And that was a wonderful place out there. So going further, I went to the city council meeting, and I asked them why New Palm isn't open. That's our Henderson open space down there where we pumped millions of dollars in, and they've got the construction of the cancer center going on there.
Yep.
And it's been closed.
Yep.
Because of water damage. So I went to the city council meeting and said that I thought it was closed because they didn't want the people interfering with the construction coming in and out. They've got big trucks and equipment and that kind of stuff. And I still think that's a big part of it, along with them wanting a tax. We've got to have more money if we're going to open that up.
That's the answer to everything.
Barry Tippin addressed it, and he said that the walking bridge had flowed off, the water pushed it off its foundation, and they haven't been able to get it fixed. They were applied for some state funds and some community city departments were working on it. I forgot my notes. I had it. Oh, I did have it written down. Anyway, bottom line is they aren't going to open it up until they get addressed. So I emailed Barry back. I says, who built that bridge and how much did it cost us?
That's where I was going to go.
And he turned it over to Travis Mean, who took Kim Niemer's place. He's the head guy for recreation. And he wrote me back, well, one bridge, the walking bridge, he wanted to know which bridge I was talking about.
Yeah.
The walking bridge had gone off its abutment, but it's fixed now. And they need to address some more erosion problems. And give him a call. He'll answer any questions I want. And it was kind of like, to me, beating around the bush. There's another way in there if it is an access problem with the construction there that could easily, just a road grader could clean off a little path into it. I think you're going to see Reading not doing some of the services we paid for in order to get us more likely to vote for their 1 cent tax.
Well,
which
you know,
I'm against.
Well, and the thing is, you know, that's the, that's the answer for everything is raise taxes, give less services. And as Reading closes in, by all accounts, all reports, we have a $5 million shortfall. And I think it's way more than that because that doesn't include the unfunded liabilities. It's just a budget shortfall. You know, this kind of stuff's going to happen more and more, and they're going to keep trying to raise taxes on us. And as proof in the pudding, we pay the highest taxes, you know, in the nation as a state, and we have horrible roads, horrible government, and they still want more money from us. And as we just found out, we have the highest paid teachers by $30,000 a year. So money doesn't solve everything. Sometimes you just have to kind of make do with less money.
So we've got the riverfront specific plan. I went to that meeting.
Oh, geez, they're still trying to get Kutrich's property, are they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they spent $1.5 million ARPA funds to have this outside outfit come in here. It looks to me like they could have drawn it up themselves.
Yeah. And they probably did for $1 million.
And evidently the counselors are against any type of residential down there. They had a little residential feathered along the outside of it in spots. And my opinion, that is so they can get some grants to get the infrastructure in that they need, sewer, water, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they spent our money for that. The ARPA funds, was that really there to do future planning?
Well, you know, that's the thing is the city of Reading used ARPA funds to hire cops and firefighters, and it's gone. It's leaving. And so what people, you know, you need to keep in mind, Nick, and anybody listening, is whenever they talk about government grants or government funds or ARPA funds, that's just taxpayer money. That's stealing it from you and me to give it to some chosen.
Oh, no, this is state funds.
It doesn't matter. It was tax money.
That's what Modi told me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is state funds, Nick. It's not Reading's money.
Well, the thing is, that just shows the level of stupidity. The government can only take from one and choose whom to give it to. But if they have to take it from the hardworking people to give it to these homeless or these ARPA funds or whatever. And so whenever, it's state funds or we got money. That's just our taxpayer money that they've allocated where they want, not necessarily where you and I want it.
There's where Proposition 13 screwed us. The money goes to Sacramento, and Sacramento sends us back a small portion.
Yep.
And then we got to beg them for more money.
Yep. And if you're not on the right side of the aisle, especially in the last 20 years, you're not getting the money unless you just suck up and you agree to all kinds of ridiculous side requirements that have nothing to do with the project that you're trying to get done in the first place.
That's right.
So hey, I saw in the news that apparently Amazon is thinking of buying a lot out there in Stillwater. That'll be interesting.
You know, I was told about 2-3 years ago that Amazon wanted to buy a lot out there next to the airport and have a conveyor belt going over to the airport. And Reading put the nicks to it.
That'd be
so
quite a sight.
So they probably forced them to buy one of their lots there.
Well, you know.
So there's some wisdom when Mike Warren said we can pick and choose the businesses we want to locate.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to locate here, you're buying this lot.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I thought that was a horrible location from the get-go. I publicly spoke out against it. And the reasons being is it's in an area where there's no infrastructure. There was no sewer out there. The water wasn't out there. There's no main transportation out there. You have to go and drive up two-lane roads to get onto either Highway 44 or Interstate 5.
And they took the property under eminent domain.
And I thought that a better location for the Stillwater Park would have been a cooperative endeavor between Shasta County, Anderson, and Reading down there where the lumber mills closed. They had the railroad so they could get a spur. They
sure
had a four-lane road on 273, which would have got north-south easily. And they had infrastructure down there because the sewer plant's there. And so the fact that we've only spent probably, if they were honest, and they won't be honest, I wish the city would come out and be honest, tell us what we've spent to keep Stillwater not only built but financed that we're now selling these lots that are going to make us money. I think we're $35 million in the red.
Easy. Hey, I want to bring up one more thing. It's almost time to go. Jeff Gorder of the failed recall people, the leader of the failed recall, he's suing Dave Rickert and the supervisors for hiring Chris Street.
Oh, jeez.
And he's always complaining about these frivolous lawsuits that are costing us money. He's got no standing. I don't think he's got a brain. But Chris Street is going to give an address about what they were doing. I think it has something to do with the hospital and Dr. Nanuka at the supervisors meeting Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I guess it'll be out in Shasta Lake City again at their city chambers.
Oh, okay.
So if you're interested in that, go to that.
Cool. Well, I won't be able to make it, Nick. I'm going to leave on Tuesday morning. I'm going to be going to Austin, Texas to go coach at the Circuit of the Americas racetrack, which is a Formula One racetrack. I get to go down there for a weekend and drive stupid fast and get in people's cars and go faster. So this is going to be a good time. Time I come back in 2 weeks, if I come back.
Are you going to
the
get to race one of those cars?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.